Today's news of job growth does little to soothe organized labor. This week, union leaders gathered in Washington to rail against the loss of manufacturing jobs. Politically, the issue is gaining traction. But as we've just heard, economists, from Wall Street to academia to the Federal Reserve, are generally bullish on the long-term prospects for jobs. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
When economists search for ways to convince a skeptical public that job growth will pick up, they turn to history.
The last century gives us scores of examples of new technologies creating new industries and new jobs that replaced old jobs.
That's Ron Bird, senior economist at the Employment Policy Foundation, a pro-business research think tank. The best example, he says, is the auto industry.
A new invention came along, a new way of transportation, and as a result, new jobs, better paying jobs were created, and new prosperity was created. There were dislocations, though. People in the mule raising industry were hurt. People in the horse harness industry were hurt. But people adjusted and found a new life.
Finding a new way of life or profession is today the challenge for millions in the manufacturing sector. In a recent speech, Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan acknowledged their hardship, but he said it's creative destruction that's underway, a process of shedding uncompetitive jobs in order to free up the capital needed for innovation. Such academic explanations of this phenomenon do little to console people hurt by it. Bill Lucy is president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. He roused a crowd of thousands gathered for a worker mobilization conference in Washington this week.
Brothers and sisters, our situation is not an accident of economic planning and policy, but rather a direct result of decisions to force our workers to compete with Pakistan and the maquiladoras of Mexico. They're continuing to use NAFTA to continue this race to the bottom.
Lucy argued free trade policies are robbing Americans of the opportunity to make a good living. What's left, he says, are low-paying service jobs.
While I by no means disparage a job at McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken, we will not remain the strongest nation on the face of the earth with the highest standard of living by frying chicken and hamburgers and selling them to each other.
There are a lot of low-paying restaurant jobs, but former Federal Reserve economist Bob Gay says it's important to take the long view. He argues when steel workers were laid off in the 80s, unemployment hit double digits. 10 years later, an economic boom created millions of high-paying information age jobs. Gay argues this can happen again.
I do think there's a strong belief that Americans can and will reinvent themselves.
But the question remains, reinvent themselves to do what?
Well, that's always somewhat the mystery, because, I mean, if we could tell that, we would all be rich, wouldn't we? We'd run out and do it today.
But he adds, as the economy slogs through this cycle of change, it's already offering solid clues.
One of the areas that we will excel is exporting our superiority in services, retailing, distribution. And we are still the world leaders in all those areas.
If the U.S. holds its advantage in moving goods and services around the world, manufacturing jobs at home will continue to disappear. John Coleman, a Duke University economist, predicts job growth will come in the catch-all service sector. Despite the myth that the service economy amounts to flipping burgers, Coleman explains it actually accounts for 3/4 of all jobs in the U.S. today, including the top-paying ones.
There's no reason to think that trend won't continue, that the 75% that we see now in another 40 or 50 years could very well be 90 or in excess of 90%.
So if the service economy is the last refuge for American workers, what happens when these jobs are lost to global competition? Jared Bernstein is an economist for the Pro-Labor Economic Policy Institute. He points to the trend of offshoring information technology jobs to India.
Throughout the 1980s and 90s, the message from policymakers was, folks, if you want to insulate yourself from the vicissitudes of globalization, become a high-skilled computer analyst. Well, now we find out that sector is exposed to globalization as well.
Bernstein says the problem of sending white-collar jobs overseas isn't as serious as it is in manufacturing, but he cautions the camel's nose is under the tent. Alice Nobry, NPR News, Washington.